All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman. And today I'm going to be talking about rumors that the Falcons may be looking at drafting a quarterback, as well as examining the long-term future of Matt Ryan here in Atlanta.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman, been covering the Falcons for many years. I'm on Twitter at FalcFans and, of course, the host of this world-renowned Locked On Falcons podcast, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And before we get into our conversation about the rumors that are surrounding that the Falcons might be interested in a quarterback, and that leading me into a conversation really about, you know, what is Matt Ryan's long-term future here in Atlanta, and whether or not we will be legitimately have to have that conversation about the Falcons drafting the quarterback in the near future. I do want to remind you guys that if you're checking out today's episode of the Locked On NFL mock draft special on the Locked On NFL podcast, of course, you will be able to hear my choice for the Atlanta Falcons. Yeah, you can get my pick for that, as well as the other picks from picks 14 to 20 on Tuesday's episode of the Locked On mock draft special on the Locked On NFL podcast on your favorite podcast platform, whether that be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or something else. So that out of the way, want to talk a little bit about the rumors surrounding whether or not the Falcons could trade up for a quarterback suggested by Ian Rappaport, NFL Insider, and whether there is smoke or whether there's fire to that rumor. NFL Insider Ian Rappaport went on the Load Management podcast earlier this month and mentioned that the Falcons are a team that could be in the market to move up for a quarterback. He named the Patriots and Saints as two other teams in that conversation, and mentioned that the Falcons have been weirdly sniffing around quarterbacks, and Dimitroff was seen evaluating quarterbacks in the quarterback room during this pre-draft process. I can recall back in October, Senior Bowl coordinator Jim Nagy mentioning that when Matt Ryan first got hurt against the Rams this past season, that the Falcons would be drafting quarterback pretty early in this year's draft, and that certainly got some people a little bit up in arms. The Falcons drafting a quarterback is not necessarily out of the realm of possibilities. It's something that I myself talked about quite extensively back in January when reviewing the performances of the team's quarterbacks from this past season. At the time, the thought process was that given the Falcons having a tight cap situation and what seemed like a likelihood that they wouldn't be picking up backup quarterback Matt Schaub's option in order to save some additional cap space, it would have created an opportunity and room on the team to bring in a young developmental quarterback that could be groomed as Matt Ryan's heir apparent down the road. At that time, I suggested a player like Georgia's Jake Fromm, should he slide into round four or so of the draft, would be the type of player that the Falcons could potentially covet. But that speculation and thought process seemed to dry up when the Falcons opted to retain Schaub, picking up his option, seeing that the veteran quarterback's role as Ryan's backup was too valuable to let him walk for an unknown like a rookie or even a third-year quarterback like Kurt Benkert, who has flash potential in brief action the last two preseasons but hasn't been able to sustain that. And that was especially the case last summer due to a season-ending injury that he suffered in the first preseason game. With Schaub coming back and little to no need to carry three quarterbacks on your roster in today's NFL, it seemed like it slammed a door shut on the Falcons drafting a quarterback. But once again, thanks to Ian Rappaport, this rumor has sort of reared its ugly head, if you want to call it that. I don't think it's particularly likely, but I think the more adventurous of us might be able to connect the dots that the Falcons have been legitimately sniffing around some of the quarterbacks, the top quarterbacks, especially those that were at the Senior Bowl, like Jordan Love and Justin Herbert, among others. But rather than the Falcons being particularly interested in drafting those guys, I think it's more plausible that the reason why the Falcons have shown so much interest in those quarterback prospects this year is because they were fully aware that two teams within their own division were in a position to make a quarterback switch this offseason. Of course, now we know that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers picked up future Hall of Fame quarterback Tom Brady, and the Carolina Panthers swapped out Cam Newton for former Minnesota Vikings and New Orleans Saints quarterback Teddy Bridgewater. Not to mention earlier this offseason, the Saints were also on the precipice in regards to Drew Brees' future over whether or not he would retire. So they may be looking towards the future at the quarterback position. So I think the simplest explanation may be that the Falcons are doing their due diligence on this year's crop of quarterbacks because they have been and may still be concerned that they might have to play these guys in the future two times a year for the next 5 to 10 years and want to start to scout their opponents right from the jump. But the fact that Matt Ryan is coming off one of his worst seasons as a pro, and the team has been forced to restructure his contract multiple times over the past year to create necessary cap space, and that problem isn't likely to go away anytime soon in the near future, it does lead to a little bit more rampant speculation that Matt Ryan may be a short timer here in Atlanta, especially since when you look around the rest of the league, you've seen a lot of other teams turn the page on longtime fixtures like a Brady, Phillip Rivers, Andy Dalton, Joe Flacco, Eli Manning, Cam Newton over the last year. Could the Falcons and Matt Ryan be the next team on that list? It's certainly possible that over the next few years, if the team's fortunes don't turn around sooner rather than later, but it's highly unlikely that we'll see a changing of the guard for the Falcons at the quarterback position in 2020. So if asking the question whether this rumor is smoke or is there fire there, I think we can firmly say that this rumor should go up in smoke. So there's your lead story, guys, and we will get a little bit more, at least this rumor, while I don't think it's particularly plausible that the Falcons are interested in a quarterback, it at least is a jumping off point for me to get into what I think is a much more important conversation about whether or not Matt Ryan is a longtime guy and whether or not my previous expectations that he's going to play another 5 or so years here in Atlanta, whether we need to revise that, and we'll get into that a little bit further on today's episode. But again, I want to remind you guys that the Locked On NFL Mock Draft Special is officially underway. Be sure to check out the mock draft episode every day this week on Locked On NFL Podcast. Subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or follow Locked On NFL on Spotify. From an early morning breakfast burrito to a 12-pack before the game, or really now just because, sometimes you need what you need delivered fast, and that's where Postmates comes in. If you're like me, besides worrying about who the Falcons are going to take in round one of the draft, you're probably spending a lot of your time thinking about what your next meal and where it's going to come from. And that's why I love Postmates. They deliver from every restaurant I can think of right to my door. But Postmates doesn't just deliver chicken wings and sushi. They actually make my life easier with grocery delivery and whatever I can think of delivery to. Convenience stores, clothing stores, you name it. So no more trips to the store or late night fast food runs. I don't even have to worry about where I grab my lunch from anymore. You don't either. Just download Postmates on iOS or Android, find your favorites, and get anything you want delivered within the hour. For a limited time, Postmates is hooking up our listeners with $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use code LOCKEDONNFL. That's code LOCKEDONNFL for $100 of free delivery credit with no minimum purchase for your first 7 days when you download Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. So let's talk about the realistic scenario of how Matt Ryan's future plays out here, one realistic scenario of how Matt Ryan's future plays out here in Atlanta. And we sort of brushed along this topic a little bit with Jeff Schultz last week of The Athletic, and sort of talking about the consequences of constantly restructuring deals. And certainly that is true. But I don't necessarily see a real alternative for the Falcons and how they're going to handle that situation with Matt Ryan, at least in the near future. Part of that is due to the fact that the team just isn't bad enough to land a big time quarterback. Now, of course, you could have situations similar to what you see this year, where you may find yourself picking in the middle of the first round and a player like a Jordan Love of Utah State is available there. You know, looking at this year's draft, the overwhelming consensus seems to be that Joe Burrow is going to go number one overall. Then Tua and Justin Herbert will go at some form or fashion, most likely to Miami or the Chargers in the top 10. And that sort of leaves Love status up in the air, unless a team like Carolina, Jacksonville, Las Vegas, or Tampa Bay is absolutely in love with Love as a prospect and want to draft him with the idea of sort of stashing him on the roster like a Patrick Mahomes for a year or so as their current starters sort of, you know, keep the spot warm. It seems likely that Love, if he's not in that mix in the top 10, is going to slide out of the top 10 and start to slide in the first round. And then you start getting in the conversation of whether a team like New England or New Orleans, as Ian Rappaport mentioned, sort of sit and wait for them at the back end of round one, or do they go up and get him? And then you also have to factor in teams like the Colts, who have 2 second round picks and are potentially in striking distance should Love fall into the second half of round one at any point. I only outline that situation because, of course, that could happen in any given year, or and certainly over the next couple of years. But it's going to be hard if the Falcons continue to be a competitive team, and whether, you know, they're a top 15 drafting team or a playoff team, you know, sitting in the middle of the round isn't necessarily a great place to be if you're in the market for a quarterback. So I don't know if they're going to be in striking distance, and I don't know if they can be one of these teams that, like Buffalo or Miami has been in recent years, that has found ways to accumulate assets and draft assets to be in a position to trade up for quarterbacks, like Buffalo was 2 years ago with Josh Allen, or Miami, you know, has been in that position this year going into this draft with Tua Tagovailoa. You know, and obviously speculating about this can be difficult, but it's hard for me to see that scenario playing out for the Falcons, because the only way that you're going to accumulate those types of draft assets is if you trade current players on the roster. And I only see that happening, you know, let's assume that this current coaching staff gets the axe, and then the next head coach that the Falcons hire, you know, is some guy that somehow manages to convince Arthur Blank that this team needs to go through a little bit more of a rebuild than necessarily a reloading process. And even if you're understandably out on this current coaching staff, I doubt the next coach that Arthur Blank is going to hire is going to be hired with the expectation that he's not going to be asked to come in and win with at least the core part of this roster. He's going to have that win now mentality. I just don't see Arthur Blank being at his age and in this current situation with the talent that the Falcons have, you know, allegedly assembled, that he's just going to be content to sort of be a mediocre football team, and he's going to want to win right now. I mean, that's the entire reason why people think Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff deserve to get the axe, is because they're not winning enough games given the, you know, alleged talent that the team has assembled. But let's not get too much into that on today's episode. Let's go back and look at more of this Ryan situation. And, you know, I've said pretty consistently, if you've been listening to this podcast really over the last year plus, that my expectation is Matt Ryan's going to play another 4 and up to 7 years here in Atlanta. We know that the Falcons restructured Ryan's deal, and I've outlined before that they're likely going to have to restructure his 2021 salary as well after this upcoming season, because currently he's counting about $40 million against the 2021 salary cap. And they can shave almost about $15 million, like $14.5 million off of that, potentially by doing a simple restructure by turning base salary into signing bonus. However, that's going to push up his 2022 base salary to nearly $50 million at around $48 million. Then you'd also have a final year of his contract, which would be in 2023, having a cap hit over $40 million as well. So as Jeff Schultz and I discussed on last week's episode, you're basically kicking the can down the road, and you're hoping that in the meantime, you're winning enough games and being a playoff contender or a Super Bowl contender in order to justify sort of that plan and that strategy. That's been the same strategy the last couple of years. You know, it's the idea of we'll happily pay the price down the road and deal with those salary cap consequences if we win a Super Bowl in the meantime. You know, that's, you can argue that's kind of what the Ravens did after they won their Super Bowl and basically were willing to, quote unquote, overpay Joe Flacco after winning that Super Bowl. And they felt like that was justifiable in order to keep that team together. But what happens is after the 2021 season, however, the Falcons are going to have to make a choice about Matt Ryan, because entering 2022, you're not going to be able to do those simple restructures anymore in the same way. Like, basically, if you try to do that simple restructure with Matt Ryan's, you know, $48 million salary, you're really only going to save about $7 million. You're just going to lower his salary cap hit to $41 million, which is far too much given the Falcons' current situation. So I think the only real way that the Falcons can save money for Matt Ryan in 2022 is going to give him some type of extension. And we will get more into exactly what type of extension and sort of what that could mean and how we could get there, depending on these two sort of diverging paths as far as extensions go, entering 2022 later on today's episode. But I know you guys have questions and I certainly have answers. And so if you want to send in your questions, you can do so on Twitter at Lockdown Falcons, Facebook at Lockdown Falcons, or via email at lockdownfalcons@mail.com. So we're talking about Matt Ryan getting a contract extension in 2022. And I think there's two main pathways where you would see the Falcons go. I think the first one is a quote unquote legit contract extension. And that's going to be probably the more expensive version of that. And, you know, who knows what the going rate for what a top caliber quarterback, you know, of Matt Ryan's caliber is going to be come 2022, because we know Dak Prescott is currently in line to get an extension before the year is up. We know Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, and the, you know, incomparable Taysom Hill. I'm kidding on Taysom Hill. But, you know, some of these, you know, Watson and Mahomes are going to get paid a lot of money and probably more than Dak is going to be. And then you also have that 2018 draft class that's going to be coming up very soon to get paid. And some of those guys could get a early extension similar to what we saw with Jared Goff and Carson Wentz. If they, especially if they have a big 2020, and those include guys like Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. So Matt Ryan's going to be 37 entering the 2022 season. Now, I don't think he'll be making the max at that point in time, whatever that will be. But, you know, by then the max may be $40 or more million a year. So I still feel like Matt Ryan's is going to go up. The price is only going to go up than what it is at currently at $30 million a year. So we could be talking about $35 million or more a year for Matt Ryan in terms of a 2022 contract extension if the Falcons choose to go that route. The other possibility is to basically add a bunch of dummy years onto the back end of his contract. So, you know, you're signing Matt Ryan to a 5-year extension, but it's really only like a 2-year or 3-year extension. And those last couple of years are voidable years, so that you're just able to basically take a big time extension for $35 million a year and say, you know, we give him $35 million for the first 2 years, and the last couple of years are just voidable years or whatever the case may be. And that allows us to spread out some of this bonus money. And that's basically what the Saints and Patriots have done recently with Drew Brees and Tom Brady this past year. And then it allows those guys to hit free agency sooner rather than later. And you get into a situation similar to what the Saints have been in the last several years, because they've been doing this pretty consistently, which is, every year he becomes a free agent and you basically ask him, as the Saints have done with Drew Brees, like, hey, Drew, do you want to keep playing? And the Falcons will be like, hey, Matt, you want to keep playing? And Matt Ryan's like, yeah, I want to keep playing. And you just keep signing him to a series of like 1 or 2 year extensions at that point until you're ready to move on, either because you've won a Super Bowl or he's retired or, you know, his play has dropped off to a significant point where you feel like maybe we can do better than this. So which path the Falcons wind up taking in terms of those two extension routes is going to depend heavily on Matt Ryan as well as his team and how well they play in 2021 and in 2020. So if Matt Ryan has a lackluster 2020 and a new head coach comes in, and then Matt Ryan doesn't rebound with a good 2021 and gets his team back into playoff contention and a team that, you know, potentially is a Super Bowl contender, I do think the possibility increases and becomes a lot higher that we could see a situation entering 2022 similar to what we saw with Baltimore 2 years ago, where they had Joe Flacco but then drafted Lamar Jackson in round one. And basically, if Matt Ryan in that situation doesn't have a good 2022, then you could easily see the Falcons decide to move on from Matt Ryan at that point by the time we reach 2023. A similar situation, in addition to the one in Baltimore, similar to the Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes dynamic in Kansas City a couple of years ago. Because even then, you remember, it wasn't like Alex Smith was coming off a lackluster year. You know, it wasn't a Joe Flacco situation with Alex Smith. You know, Joe Flacco had been very, very mediocre at best, if you want to be honest, for several years in Baltimore, and that led to them moving on from him. But Alex Smith, at least in his final year in Kansas City, was playing arguably the best football he's ever played in his NFL career and was legitimately considered to be a MVP candidate, at least through the first month or so of that season, given how well he was playing and how well the Chiefs were playing at that point in time. But essentially, the Chiefs knew that short of Alex Smith guiding that team to a Super Bowl that year, which he did not, and they got beat by, I think, the Texans in the first round of the playoffs, that they had a much more talented and younger and more, you know, higher upside player in Patrick Mahomes waiting in the wings. And obviously that decision has definitely paid off for the Chiefs the last 2 years with an MVP season and a Super Bowl win. Now, all of that to say is, you know, not suggesting that that is going to happen or will happen or should happen with the Falcons. It's just, I think it's worthy of having a conversation, and this whole Ian Rappaport rumor, I think, brings up this conversation. For all we know, Matt Ryan could come out here this year, next year, and ball out the next 2 years, and this conversation was just kind of a waste of time. But I do think it's an interesting conversation to have at the very least. And so basically, all of this is to sit here and tell you is that now, you know, after a year or more of being pretty, you know, basically since Matt Ryan signed that contract extension, 2 years ago, basically I've been like, oh, well, you know, Matt Ryan's going to play another 4, 5, 7 years. He's going to play through the 2024 season or something like that was, I guess, my mindset in terms of how long Matt Ryan's going to be here. And now I might have to just start revising that to be like, you know, it's going to be 2 or 3 years and then we'll have to see. And so, again, you know, that Ian Rappaport rumor, I'm not buying into it this year that the Falcons are really interested in these quarterbacks. I just think they're doing their due diligence because they were worried about Carolina or Tampa Bay or even New Orleans getting one of these quarterbacks. But if we have a so-so 2020 and then we hear more rumors that the Falcons are sniffing around these quarterbacks, we might have to say come 2021, such a rumor may not be as so much a smokescreen as it seemed to be today. So obviously a lot to play out. This is by no means me suggesting, oh, my expectation is that Matt Ryan will have a down year. And again, for those of you that listened to yesterday's episode, when we did a mock draft Monday and we had a dueling mock and, you know, someone presented a possible mock where the Falcons would wind up with 10 draft picks, basically turning their first round pick into like 4 or 5 extra picks in this draft. And we wound up having like, I think five picks on day two of the draft, like 3 seconds and 2/3, I think. And I spent like 4 out of those 5 picks on offensive players. Like, that's why I have this sort of mindset of like, yeah, I know that the offense isn't the thing that is the biggest issue right now. Obviously the defense is a much glaring question mark entering this upcoming season. But at the same time, I feel like I wouldn't sleep on the offense being something that the Falcons are going to still have to invest resources in. And I just happen to think that this draft, potentially, at least in that mock draft scenario, the way that the draft fell, that the better value for a lot of these positions was getting some studs on the offense. And suddenly then you can be put in a situation where you're not worried about Matt Ryan and what he's going to do over the next couple of years, because you're surrounding him with a lot of young, dynamic, you know, physical or whatever you want to call it, talent. You know, and obviously that's something the Falcons are going to have to do on both sides of the ball. But it is one of those things where we'll just have to see how it plays out. So it's one of those things where, like, yeah, the Falcons could go defensive heavy this year in the draft, but I wouldn't be shocked at all if we fast forward 12 months from now and all of a sudden everybody's talking about we need to get a running back and we need to get a wide receiver and we need to get another tight end and we need to get 2 starters on the offensive line. You know, we could be having that conversation a year from now. And so to me, the difference between securing that today versus securing that tomorrow, I don't think makes that much of a difference, because, again, part of my process and how I think about these things is I'm not too invested in trying to salvage this season in the best possible way that it could. Personally, my thought process, if I'm being completely honest with you, is the Falcons kind of blew that opportunity with how they handled free agency, because I think they needed to be a little bit more proactive to get veteran players because of the fact that I don't think you can really rely on rookies to come in. And I thought Albert Breer in his Monday morning quarterback, who also mentioned a rumor that the Falcons are among teams that are looking to trade up, which is, you know, maybe that's a rumor that other people are glomming onto, but that's a rumor that literally you can go back through every pre-draft process for the last decade, guys, and you will find people saying, oh, we're hearing buzz that the Falcons are trading. And again, doesn't mean that the Falcons won't trade up. The reports were that they did try to trade up last year. So it's not to sit here and say that those reports aren't legit, but it's just one of those things where it's like we hear that literally every year. So it's like, yeah, okay, come up with something new. You know, give me something that's a little bit more plausible in terms of who they're trying to trade up for or whatever the case may be. So we'll see how that goes. But I did think Albert Breer made an excellent point in that column where he talked about how, you know, he basically mentioned this in the conversation around the possibility of seeing more veteran trades I don't know if he was referring specifically to the draft or just this offseason in general. And it's because he was talking about how the likelihood that you're not going to have an offseason in the, or at least a normal offseason because of, you know, this whole COVID-19 crisis is that you can't really count on rookies to come in and save you. And again, that's been, again, that wasn't explicitly why I was like, we need veterans and not have to rely on rookies. Cause I just think rookies in general are less reliable, but in a year where you're not going to have an off season, I think their rookies are even especially less reliable to come in and sort of save your season. So when the Falcons weren't as proactive in March to do the things. And again, we go back to a year ago, my issues with the Falcons last offseason wasn't their April decision, wasn't their draft picks. It was that they, you know, they weren't proactive in March to address a lot of these needs, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. And so the hope is sitting here today, and, you know, this is where we'll wrap up things, guys. But the hope is sitting here today that, you know, after the draft, that the Falcons will take that Desmond Trufant money that they save and do everything in their power in the month of June and July, assuming that, you know, rules are allow them to do so. And, you know, I know that's an ambiguous statement. I'm just saying, like, I have no idea what this COVID-19 situation is going to be like in June and July. So, again, we'll have to sort of see if normal rules apply to how teams can do stuff because new developments have occurred. So that's why I say that, not necessarily because there's like a specific rule I'm thinking of. But, you know, my hope is that, you know, that rant I went on earlier this offseason about it didn't make any sense for the Falcons to cut Desmond Trufant as a post June 1 cut blows up in my face. I will happily eat crow on that one because I hope they use that cap, that $10 million in cap space and use it not just to sign rookies that are only going to, you know, cost you like $4 million or so and even less if they wind up doing the thing that Albert Breer was talking about in trading up. But you use that extra $6+ million in cap space and you go out there and you get the as many difference makers, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, as you can possibly get. That's how I would have done this offseason. Basically, I would have invested heavily in free agency on defense, and then I would have been free to basically explore my the whims of offense come April and being able to get some difference makers on the offensive side of the ball to, you know, potentially surround Matt Ryan with some coveted pieces as I did on yesterday's Mock Draft Monday. Go check that out if you haven't already. But there you guys have it. There's my thoughts on that particular rumor. Not too concerned about Matt Ryan's, you know, long-term future. You know, we'll just have to sort of see how it plays out, but certainly worthy of a conversation that, you know, some of these things might have to be revised in terms of being super confident that Matt Ryan's going to play another 5 years in Atlanta. It's like, I'll be super confident he's going to play another two. Beyond that, we'll have to sort of see. So that's where I'm coming from. And sort of that's where that Ian Rappaport rumor inspired me to think about, not in terms of its plausibility as the Falcons. Now, if the Falcons do wind up taking a quarterback in the draft, I'm not going to say there's a 0% chance of it happening, but I think it's probably less than 1% sitting here today. You know, we will have a very interesting rapid reaction to the Falcons first round come Friday morning, you know, what, 10, 11 days from now, whenever that is. So, you know, we'll have some great content on the podcast. And of course, you guys should be subscribed to the Locked On Falcons podcast on your favorite podcast platform, whether that be Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. Until then, guys.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.